Welcome, all you cool cats and kittens, to a very special episode of Quarantines. I'm Alex Safey here with my brother John. John, what's up?
What's going on?
And today we're going to be joined by a very special guest to be tackling one of the biggest creatures of a podcast that we've ever endeavored upon. And it will be...
Is that a word, endeavor?
I don't know. I just turned it into a verb. We are going to be doing an episode on the Tiger King. And we'll be joined by, John, do you want to introduce our special guest today?
Yes, so we did. Last time, we did have one of our roommates from D.C. on for our music pod. This one, the same. We got our roommate from Boston College, all the way from Tampa, Florida. We flew him out here during quarantine season. Just kidding. He's still home in Tampa. Our buddy, William McLaughlin. What's going on, Will?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Of course. Glad to have you, brother. So Will is our expert. So Will, he's coming live from Big Cat Rescue right now. And Will, how has your quarantine been going? Why don't you just tell us a little bit about what you've been doing to stay busy?
Yeah, I mean, so far, so good. I mean, to the extent of which I could be doing good. It's unfortunate times, but I don't know. I've taken the time to kind of focus on exercising more. I'm playing a lot more guitar.
Let's go. Good for you.
So I'm trying to Jason. I know. I'm trying to hone some skills, trying to get better.
And you also shaved your head, didn't you?
I shaved my head.
Talk us through that decision.
Honestly, it was out of complete boredom. I'm an entertainer by nature, and so I figured I needed to give the people some content.
That's true.
I love that. That Instagram Live was a lot of fun for me.
It was definitely entertaining.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
But before we get started with the show, quickly, here's some of the topics. So obviously, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about all things Tiger King. We're going to talk about...
Yeah, if you're listening right now and you haven't watched Tiger King, just log off.
Go watch Tiger King.
Save yourself come back. 7 hours.
I feel like we've got to have a big spoiler alert tag on this because that's all this is. Exactly.
But come on, if you haven't watched it by now, I don't know what you're doing. Like, I don't know how you're staying busy. How have you not binged this?
I mean, that's a great show. Besides those two things and attending my classes online, that's literally all I've been doing.
That's true.
So anyway, the topics we're going to be doing are we're going to talk about the wildest moment of the show. We're going to pick between a large group of different moments that happened. Obviously, the show is crazy. Then we're going to be talking about who is Joe Exotic's worst enemy. We're going to discuss who is the most likable character on the show, which is definitely a tough choice. Then we're going to do our picks for what storyline or character would make the best spinoff reality show. Finally, we're going to get to the million-dollar question. Did Carol Baskin kill her husband, Don Lewis? And finally, Will's going to wrap up by giving us, if he was going to direct a Tiger King movie, who would he cast for some of the biggest names in the movie? But before that, Williams, you know, you live in Tampa, right? So have you ever been to Big Cat Rescue?
This is actually such a funny story. So before all of this happened, in my childhood, this was like a place that I had been to probably like 3 or 4 times. Like
How
on top
far
of
is
that.
It? How far is it from your house?
It's like a 30-minute drive from my house, so it's super convenient. What's crazy about it is my mom's an elementary school teacher. This was a field trip that she would take her kids to every single year. Yeah, dude, every single year. They're fourth graders. They're like little kids.
They're field trip to the zoo, and they're going to see Carol and...
They're going to see Carol Baskin every single year. And so when the show came out, I came in and my mom was watching the show and she was like, can you believe this? Like the Big Cat Rescue's on here. And at this point it hadn't blown up yet. So I didn't really think too much about it.
So when was that? That was when?
That was
just when you got home.
No, right when it
that
came
was
out.
Right when I got home.
Cause okay. Yeah, so we got home on like March 15th and the show came out March 20th.
I don't know.
Wow. That's crazy.
So it was like right away when this happened, which is so crazy. But dude, yeah, I'm sitting here, I literally have like a Big Cat Rescue multi-tool that I got I got from when I was like 6 or 7 years old, which is so wild.
That's awesome.
From the gift shop, straight out of the gift shop.
And so, yeah, so after this whole thing happened, I was like, all right, you know what? Again, I'm an entertainer. I want some content. So I drove over to the Big Cat Rescue. We're in quarantine now, so it's shut down. It's closed. Yeah. But that didn't stop me. I drove there anyways. I wanted I wanted to see whatever I could get out of it. And so I drove there. The gates were all locked. There was no way of getting in. So I Google mapped it, satellite image, to see if there was any like way that there was like a transparent fence, because the majority of it is all just concrete walls around the whole thing. So you can't see in. And so I saw that there's this path that came up to the back of the Big Cat Rescue. And there's a pretty big house actually next to it, but it looked like there was a little gate. So I was like, you know what? I'll drive there, see if I can see anything from there. So I'm on the phone with my mom as I'm driving in. It's one way. It was a lot more narrow than I thought it was. It was like only wide enough for one car. And as I'm driving into this back lane, I see signs everywhere, like private property, do not enter. I think at one point on the show, you see it say like, we don't call 911 when you trespass. I saw that. They had that sign in like two different places. And at this point, I'm getting like sketched out. And I was like, Mom, I don't know if this is a good idea.
They're going to shoot you then?
Yeah. So they have, it says, we don't call 911 for trespassers. And then beneath it has like a gun.
Oh my God.
And so I was like, oh God, this is getting a little scarier. So as I'm driving in, I see this like huge compound. And as I'm getting closer, the gate opens up, a car pulls out and is going straight towards me. And I was like, oh my God, I couldn't turn around.
That's sketchy.
Because it wasn't wide enough. So I had to literally back out the entire way as this car is following me. We're like nose to nose. And he chased me out. And
Was it Carol or Don?
No, it was
Don,
some random
dude.
Howard? Yeah. No, it was some random dude. Didn't recognize him. But when I was doing some research for the show, I was going back and watching some of the shows. And on episode 3, it shows Carol biking into her home. And I recognized those walls from the outside. So that's I accidentally drove in on her house, which is probably not the best.
That's crazy.
So that was that near the bike path that she always was riding on?
Yeah, I guess so. It's wild how connected all of this is and like how close I am to this. So
yeah, well, it's unreal because you know, our friend Alex's direct roommate at school, Tim. Shout out Tim. I know you're listening. And Tim was texting, you know, in our group chat, like, oh guys, you gotta watch Tiger King. You gotta watch Tiger King. This is the craziest show ever.
Every few days.
Yeah.
Like, watch Tiger King right now in all caps.
And one day I just saw like Will say, or Tim was like, what, Will? You've been there before? Like, yeah. And I'm like, I don't even know what these guys are talking about. Like some show about a zookeeper or whatever. But obviously at a time like this, when everyone's like, you know, pretty much quarantined at home, it just threw the show took off. And it's just such a crazy show because they went into it, you know, trying to film this like documentary or whatever. I know there's that first scene in the beginning where, you know, the I don't know if the guy ever used his name, but he's like introducing the guy who was filming the documentary people, like those people who
were
interviewing
not
everyone.
Kirkham?
No. That was like Joe's reality guy. But the guys who were like went in, they saw like the snow leopard in the back of a car.
Oh yeah.
And they like wanted to figure out what was the deal with people keeping big cats. That's why they started the documentary. But they could not have known the story, the trajectory that the story was going to end up having, right?
And no way.
With all the different wild, you know, turns throughout the show. So obviously that gets to our first question, which is, I'll start with you, Will. Will, what was the wildest moment of all of them in the show? And I'll just list them off for you that we put together this list here. So right. One, Joe going to jail for hiring someone to kill Carol. Obviously, you can't sleep on that one. That's just the main, you know, point of the story is what, that it ends with. Don Lewis disappearing. Joe's husband, Travis, his accidental suicide. And the show using the footage of Josh Dial, which was Joe's campaign manager, watching it happen. Joe Exotic's career as a country singer. All the polygamy in the show between Doc Antle and his
polygamy people all over the place.
Yeah, obviously Joe Exotic, who had two husbands who were both straight. And then, so another one, Doc Antle getting young women to work at the zoo and sleep with him, obviously. And like basically, essentially, these people were having like it was like a cult that he had going on. That's one crazy. That was one episode devoted to that. Saf, one of the people that worked at Joe's zoo,
getting his arm bitten off, caught on camera, and then returning to work at the same place 1 week later after amputating his arm.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Another one that is funny, because when I looked at this list that Alex had, Alex forgot to put on Joe running for president and governor of Oklahoma. Like, that was a crazy part. Like, that's the thing. There's so many crazy things you just forget. Some of them slip your mind. And then one dark horse we had, which was Joe Exotic getting Carol Baskin's diary, which was just something funny in the episode.
That literally blew my mind.
Yeah, he's just sitting there reading, like, about, like, deep thoughts about her marriage and stuff. Like, yeah,
we should talk about at the end, because even though that's the dark horse, that's, like, I think, Alex, you put that on there, but I read that, and I was like, wait a second.
Yeah.
That's, like, a good point. Why?
Before we actually say what our moments were, you know, I think that's the craziest thing and the best thing about this show is that every single second it feels like there's something, they're just dropping bombs on you.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Wait, what? Wait, Joe also had a career as a country singer, and then like he ended up singing that song "Here Kitty Kitty" about Carol potentially killing her husband, and then there's just so many things between him Joe having two husbands and then running for like every single turn of the show there was something absolutely absurd that happened.
Yeah. So John, Will, of those, maybe I left off one, but Will, what was your wildest moment of the show?
So I think for me, as crazy as all of these are, I think the Doc Annell story, like everything about him is just so crazy. I think at least for me, the fact that he was able to get together this entire cult and present it so well, because he wasn't even like the target of the federal government targeting, because I think honestly, he was portrayed and was able to portray his image as like a much cleaner, more organized institute.
He was cleaner Joe, for sure.
Right. Yeah. However, when you kind of pull back the curtains a little more, the whole story's crazy. The fact that he had multiple wives, it's still like unclear how many wives he actually had.
Right. They interviewed that woman who worked for him, and she basically, that was a good episode.
The woman who left, right?
The woman who had she basically spilled everything, saying about, oh, you know, he basically hires us and gets us to sleep with him, and then, you know, he killed certain tigers, and basically she like just gave the rundown about all the stuff, like you said, that he does a very good job of hiding, which, you know, Joe obviously gets in trouble for because he didn't do as good of a job.
Completely. And I think that whole story is just shocking, and the fact that all of that is just like a minor component in all of this isn't even the main story.
That's like the fifth most interesting plot of the whole
But what's story. So crazy is he's now got allegations, and I think that they're investigating the fact that he would gas tigers that were out of the petting age or the cub age when they were attracted to punch.
Yeah, so, like they talk about
they
it.
See once the tigers as assets.
Yeah, once you can't afford them anymore, like why are you going to spend – what do they say? It's you spend like $100,000, $200,000 to like feed –
yeah, one is that one
they
tiger?
They need like 30 cows a day to feed all.
Yeah,
tigers, you know?
So
right,
it's so expensive to keep these tigers. So when like they're not making money off of them, obviously, you know, that's the thing they ended up doing, which, you know, resulted in at the end of the story, you know, Joe gets sent to prison for, you know, putting down tigers for killing them. And so, well, you actually mentioned how he actually Doc Antle doesn't really get bopped. Like, he seems like he's more clean, and Joe was always, the police were over there being sketchy about him, or like, you know, everything seems sketchy about him. But at the end of the show, they have, you know, when they just have like those written things, like at the end, just like updating people like what has happened since, the one of the last things they said was Doc Antle's Myrtle Beach safari was raided by the authorities in December 2019. So that was literally like 5 months ago.
Wow.
So
yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that story continues on.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, Alex, what was your wildest moment of the show?
Dude, honestly, there's so many. And I think this won't be mine, but actually, yes, man, it's just so tough. I'll have to go with the absolute, just the shock factor. And then a lot of these things are very disturbing, but the disturbing nature of watching Travis accidentally kill himself.
That's probably top.
That was the most,
I'd say for me.
Obviously, like, watching, you know, Joe get married to both of his husbands was just like there's nothing to say. I was just like, what's going on here? And that wedding scene, and then you know, Saf getting his arm bitten off, like there was so many things I was like, what is going on? But for me, that was the most, like, I was just my jaw dropped, like, to see that happen
And when I saw the footage, they obviously show the footage of the campaign man, Joe's campaign manager, Josh Dial, watching it happen. And I was like, I feel like that was actually the one moment of the show that I was legitimately like questioning if that was real or not. Cause I was like, did they really put that footage in here? Cause that's not, it was kind of like, I don't know if that's kind of unethical,
see,
you know? Like,
I mean, you don't see him.
Kill. Yeah, but I'm on Alex's side.
The flash. But I know, yeah. For you see the flash of the gun go off, and then you just see Josh's reaction. So I think that's almost the, you know, most perfect thing they could have filmed. Because if you see him, obviously they filmed him shooting himself. They weren't going to put that on.
That's the most traumatizing moment of someone's life. For Josh to have seen that, and them, like, I don't know, for them to put the footage, which is literally like the store camera's footage of it. It was, and obviously he was saying, so then there was that last episode that they did the interviews, and Josh was saying that
he hasn't gotten the help he needed.
He needs like psychological help, and that he wants to go see a therapist or something, but doesn't have the money for it. So, I mean, we saw, obviously, you know, everyone on the internet started up a GoFundMe page, which that was nice to see.
I think, you know, but he mentioned it on the show. He said, hey, like, going to my GoFundMe, like, you know, I'm trying to get my mental health right after, like, seeing that, because obviously, he said on that interview he had thought at first that Travis was just joking with him, because Travis was someone who would like joke around about just, that.
I mean, watching that, anyone, like I said, when I was watching it on TV, I was like, this is
yeah, no
this
doubt.
Didn't happen.
That one, yeah. That was when I was like, oh my goodness. Like, even that, the fact that they were able to somehow film that, right? It was the store's cameras, and somehow that was a part of the doc. Like, that's what I think is
everything
the craziest,
on footage.
Craziest thing of this whole story is just like, you know, how they were able to. From going into it, you know, they didn't know it'd be the 5-year, you know, documentary that they thought it would be going in. And then my moment, I'll say, I just think this is like, you know, the main person of the whole show is Joe Exotic. And I just think they start off the show. They set up the first episode so well. They say, we got Joe in this corner. We got Carol in this corner. There's this battle on, like, you know, should we breed the cats? Shouldn't we? And then obviously they talk about how Carol used to, and they portray her as someone who's, you know, obviously essentially just as bad. That's my opinion. We can talk about that later, as what Joe's doing. And I think that whole plot and that story is, for me, is the craziest one. And in the end, for me, it's about
what plot was it?
How Joe ends up in jail. So this very charismatic, this crazy, you know, he's crazed by fame. He wants to be famous and he wants to be a celebrity, and he has his TV show. And what they talk about, how once he started figuring out social media, he was like, oh, people can see this and like this. And he was just very, you know, interested. Yeah. Interested with the social media aspect of it. And now that he's as big as he could, he's bigger than he could have ever imagined being, right? He was just so, he wanted to become a celebrity. He wanted to become huge. And because of this documentary, he's as big as anyone essentially is. And what happened? You know, he's behind bars now. So I think, and that was interesting, that in that last episode where they were doing the interviews with everyone, I forget what that interviewer's name was, but he kept asking everyone that question, like, what do you think Joe's thinking right now in jail? Does he know that he's this big and whatever? And, like, that's something that's so crazy.
Can't even watch it.
Right. And, like, so essentially he's got what?
22 years
or something? Yeah. So, I mean, that's to me is, like, I mean, I don't know if you guys saw, but there's literally a clip of a reporter asking, you know, our president and saying, like, Donald Trump is saying, oh, would you give him a pardon?
That'd be
and,
so crazy.
And Trump's like, oh, I don't know what to talk. Obviously, you know, Trump has not watched the show during.
He's got other stuff to
right now.
Hopefully
focus
not.
On.
Yeah.
I would hope that he's not doing that. But obviously, so like someone even asked him, like, oh, would you consider giving him a pardon? Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, letting him.
Yeah,
like,
I wouldn't rule it out.
Yeah, who knows? So, like, I'm just saying, that's how big Joe Exotic is, that literally we're in a global pandemic, and somehow that's what the president spent time answering a question on, you know. So that's
some reporter.
Yeah.
Like,
so to me, Joe Exotic, just the character that he was, that was the biggest story for me.
And John, you briefly mentioned there, you know, the rivalry between him and Carol, to who, you know, those two people are definitely posed against each other in the show. But that's another good question that we had, was who is Joe Exotic's worst enemy? Because obviously there's a ton of people who, honestly, I don't think there was not very many people who liked him at all, really.
Yeah.
There was,
I mean, at the end, everyone testified against him.
And everyone really testified
against
him.
That was sad, that scene.
Yeah, that was. But, so who is Joe Exotic's worst enemy, Will? Why don't we start with you?
So, for me, I think I've got to say Jeff Lowe. And, honestly, Jeff Lowe, for me, dude, he's my least favorite person on the show. He's the He's the definition of just like a slime ball, like scumbag person.
Yeah, he was always scheming.
Dude, I'll just go down. I wrote out like a quick list of things that he did. He beat and strangled his ex-wife. He was in charge, dude. He's in charge of hiring the nanny with his new wife because she needed to be hot, in his words.
He says that in front of his wife.
Which was so awkward.
Oh, yeah, we got to hire the hot nanny. So
he brought, he hosted exotic parties in Vegas where he'd wheel in these tiger cubs and suitcases for them to play with and get Instagram pics with.
Right.
Which is so messed up.
Yeah, that's as close to animal cruelty as you can get. Right. He kept them in these suitcases, like how? To bring him into like big Las Vegas.
So overall, I might be biased because I just think he's a scumbag and I hate him. But on top of that, I think that that Jeff was by far Joe's biggest enemy because he literally stole the zoo right out from underneath him. He came in posing as this savior of the zoo, saying that he had the money to save Joe and bail him out because he knew that he was in financial trouble battling with Carol Baskin. And so he pretended like he had a lot of money, which he didn't. And then once he had legal control of the zoo, kicked Joe right off the property. On top of that, if that's not bad enough, he then sets Joe up and leads him on to say, to get these like sound bites. And Jeff literally admits to this in the show that he would get him to say certain things so that he could give it to the feds, which I think is so messed up.
Right. Yeah. Well, there is that one clip and I think that's definitely the worst thing that he does, which is setting Joe up. But he goes, you know, this is literally him in the interview. He's like, some people will say, I set Joe up. I call it
investigation.
Like, what are you doing, bro?
And,
like, yeah, that was definitely the worst. He definitely, that was clear a setup.
So this might be a hot take, but I honestly don't think if Jeff Lowe was there, Joe Exotic would have actually gone through with hiring a hitman.
I was thinking about
you said
handyman's name.
Well, you said you don't think that Joe would go through without Joe.
I don't think so.
Well, I think the interesting thing about that is I don't know whether or not Joe would have gone through with it, but Alan. But the guy that Joe ends up trying to hire to kill Carol was someone that he knew through
exactly.
Jeff.
So
it was like Jeff was like directly involved with it, and like there was even in the clips like you hear Jeff egging them on, and like you're egging them on. Obviously,
that's
like
all
setup,
we
you know?
Saw on camera. I honestly think, and I think that more is going to come out about this. But I think that Jeff Lowe had probably a huge part in convincing Joe to go through Alan and actually going through with it.
Well, I don't doubt it for a second, especially because, you know, you mentioned how Jeff was supposed to save the zoo because they were in financial trouble because of the things that were going on with Carol. So obviously killing Carol would obviously benefit Joe, but it would help out Jeff immensely as well because he was taking on the financial burden of it all. So you mentioned Jeff. He's definitely up there. For me, I'm going to have to go with the classic rivalry of Joe Exotic versus Carol Baskin. I think Carol was his worst enemy, you know, and that rivalry was just an all-time.
Oh, yeah.
You talk Lakers Celtics, Batman versus Superman, Duncan Starbucks, Ali Frazier, whatever you want to say. Exotic Baskins is a rivalry. Yeah, that's it. And or Baskin, I said Baskins. But I think she was the worst because, you made a good argument for Jeff, but the whole reason Jeff even got involved with Joe is because Joe was just sinking due to what the financial burdens that Carol put on Joe because of all the lawsuits.
True.
And Carol, essentially, John, you mentioned this earlier, I think it was all the same. Like, at the beginning of the show, when they introduced Carol,
they're just better at hiding it. That was
exactly. And Carol's like talking, oh, Joe's bad. You know, it's animal cruelty, all this. Animals don't belong in cages. And the next clip is at her zoo, and the animals are in cages. So I was a little bit confused by that. I'm like, well, what's the difference between the two? And I guess the difference is like she didn't believe
she
in breeding
them.
And
yeah,
selling.
She was
but
them.
She was doing all that stuff. Like, how did she – the way she got started in the cat business or the big cat, you know, whatever, the refugee business, is that she started by purchasing these animals with
breeding,
her ex-husband,
Don
Lewis. She was breeding and selling them all through the 90s. I mean, they in her episode, they talked about that.
Yeah.
And Yeah, so I, you know, I hate to disagree with you guys, but I think, you know, the only person to blame, and, like, you know, I really was a big Joe guy, and I still am a fan. It's like, that's what's so crazy about the show, because at the end of it, you're like, he's crazy, he's committed crimes, he deserves to be in jail, yet you still see Jeff Lowe, Carol Baskin, all these people as, like, they were worse than him. You hate them more than you know, you hate Joe, obviously, for what he's done.
It's just the show.
And, yeah, definitely.
But I hate to say it, but Joe Exotic's worst enemy, John Rinky, one of my favorite characters, he said this in the interview. Joe's worst enemy was himself. I mean, from the first episode, they're playing all these, oh, if they take away my zoo from me, there's going to be another Waco. You know, he talked about, oh, he would have the dolls of Carol Baskin. Oh, hey, this is what we do to you, Carol. And he's shooting her, like, you know, with
on
all
film.
This,
he filmed it all.
He's filming it, and he's putting this on the internet. Okay, so there's that. And then with the whole, you know, the murder for hire, when he tried doing all that, like, I just think, and listen, they talk about in the show how, like, basically his sanity declines throughout, right? And at some point, he just, especially after his husband died, of course, you know, he just was started losing it, and he wasn't thinking straight, and he went crazy. And with the whole murder for hire thing, like, he was just, I guess he was, I hate to say it, like, sloppy with it. But something that you also talked about, Will, with the Jeff Lowe thing, was that he was like, he allowed Jeff Lowe to get the best of him because he needed Jeff Lowe to his Jeff Lowe's money to fight off Carol Baskin. So there was one part where he had to fight the copyright thing, right? He basically tried stealing the name. It was Big Cat. They were Big Cat Rescue, and he wanted to get more Google searches. So he changed his, like, business or a zoo or whatever it was to Big Cat Rescue Entertainment, right? Yeah. So now he has to go against Howard and Carol Baskin in court, and he's losing all this money fighting them in court. Whereas, you know, and now he needs Jeff Lowe to come in, and that's how Jeff Lowe ended up getting. So I hate to say it, but, like, the person who sets Joe up the most, you know, between all of the different enemies of the show is himself. And that's what I hate to see it, is, like, he ended up screwing himself over it.
I think that's such a great take because – honestly, Joe has more videos online of himself talking about how he wanted to kill Carol Baskin than I probably have videos of myself, period, on the internet. You know, like, his internet presence was insane, but especially
was very much
and it was all centered around killing her,
villainizing her. Yes, literally.
That was so funny because not only, like, he would every day they were shooting the different dummies that were, like, that said Carol on them or whatever, but then they also, they had the clip of him sending the snakes to her house. Like, it was just every single day.
And I think the dagger, I think the final nail in the coffin was the fact that at one point he tweeted out right before he hired Alan to go down and kill her. He tweeted out a picture of her house and said, finally figured out where she lives. Like, come on, Joe.
You're really doing
this to yourself.
And, you know, you hear these stories of, like, kids our age or kids younger, right? Who, like, don't use social media the right way. They post something they shouldn't have. Like, they do whatever. They get into trouble. Like, we've seen, stories about athletes losing their scholarships because they posted something stupid online. And, like, that's essentially what, like, Joe Exotic was going through. Like, he ended up using social media in the wrong way. And it ended up, you know, he ended up pitchforking himself. And we just talked about some of, obviously, the worst characters or Joe's worst enemies. But now, guys, why don't we talk about our most likable characters of the show. Alex, why don't you go first?
So I'm gonna have to give a huge shout out to Saf, who was the transgender male character on the show who got got his arm bitten off by a tiger and was absolutely, like, so chill about it. Like
that was crazy.
I think that scene that opened up episode 2 with that scene with the arm getting ripped off.
That was unreal.
And Saf is just sitting there chilling, like, yeah, whatever. And he comes back within a week of that injury and was like, who's the guy? Rick Kirkham was asking him all these questions about, like, getting the arm torn off and are you scared and all this. And he was just like, no, it was just an accident. It happened.
Yeah.
And they asked him, like, you know,
it seemed like everyone else was crazier. He was much more
than
everyone else in the world.
Like, you can try to save your arm. And he's like, nah, just cut it off. Like, so,
yeah,
Saf was definitely the most likable.
He's like, nah,
Alex, you know why he did that? I'm pretty sure this is the reason why he did it, is because everyone was trashing this tiger, was going off and saying, like, this tiger, this is, like, why we shouldn't have tigers in cages. This is why we need to get rid of them. And so, in in his mind, he was like, all right, I guess the best option is to just cut off my arm so that I can go back and show them that, like, it's not the tiger's fault. And I have no, like,
that's what he
sacrificed his arm for these tigers. That's so, I think that's pretty baller.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think at the end, they ask him, like, well, who's the loser in this whole thing? And he's like, the animals. Or I mean, he just says everyone, I think, but he says, the animals were definitely the loser. Like, all this stuff was between Joe and Carol and everything else, and all the baggage just derailed everything. Everyone claims to care about the animals so much, but the animals were getting no love.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Will, who's your pick for most likely?
Yeah. Character? So for me, I wanted to go with Eric Cowie. He was the head zookeeper. Oh, yeah. Really? Which I think this is a hot take. I don't know if many people would agree with this, but in my opinion, he was like the most down to earth, humble person on the show. And he just wanted to do like his own thing. He didn't care about Joe Exotic. He didn't care about anyone. He just wanted to take care of these animals. Like, the only reason why he got into the business in the first place is because he needed the money. And I think the only reason why he stayed was because he really cared about the animals.
Didn't he say he can't come from prison? And like, that was Joe's whole thing. Like, Joe, that's completely what Rick Kirkham said, you know, he hired all these misfits and Joe was like the king of misfits. Right.
And I think honestly, he probably, I think he really hated Joe because every single time he talked about how Joe treated the animals, you could see he was in like so much pain. And it's very apparent when he talks about what was going on with the treatment of the animals that he was in so much pain because he actually genuinely cared about them.
He did. And he talked about that. Mm-hmm. You know, he said he's still working now. He's working for Jeff Lowe on the same zoo. And he said, you know, I said I was more loyal to the animals than Joe. And I told Jeff Lowe that, you know, on day one, I'm more loyal to the animals. Like, that's whose team I'm on. But you know what else he said? He also said he hasn't watched the show.
Dude, that was my next point. I think that is so hilarious. And when they asked him why, he was like, just don't have time. Like,
right. And it's funny, Will, because, you know, you talked about how, like, you went to see Big Guy Rescue. And obviously, after the show, people like you who are like, wait, I went there before, are probably all going around. And like you said, you felt you got chased out by some security guys or whatever. And he said that is like, you know, people keep showing up with cameras and stuff, and I just keep doing my work. And like, to him, it's almost like his life hasn't changed yet. Like, now he's just like very recognizable. Like, we're all talking about him, like, on this podcast. Like, he's just, he has no idea that the amount of people that know him because of how big the show is.
And John, that's exactly why he's my favorite person, is because for most people, I'm going to be honest, if I had an entire documentary done about me and it blew up this much, it'd be hard to stay like doing my own thing and staying humble. This dude has not changed one bit. I think he's like the Frank Ocean of like documentaries. He's just trying to stay as low-key as possible and just stay doing his thing, which I respect.
Yeah. Also, can we shout out his beautiful hair?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That hair does not really fit. Like, if you looked at his face, you would not see.
Oh, definitely.
He's wearing glasses for the whole thing. When he took his glasses off at the end, when he was a different person, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
All right. So mine, my name's John. I got to go with the two Johns on the show. John Finley, which was Joe Exotic's first husband, correct, of his three husbands. That was his first husband. And also John Rinke, who, like, similar to you, Will, John Rinke, he was the manager of the zoo, and he actually left now after everything. I just felt like I just feel like he was the most genuine, you know, of all the characters. Like, he seemed real, and everyone seemed to downplay, you know, like, Joe as a human almost. Like, at the end of the story, when Joe's going to jail, they're all like, oh, yeah, I'm going to jail. I'm going to testify against him, whatever. And, like, they only were, like, loyal to Joe, you know, when he was in power. And obviously, what Joe did was wrong. And, like, you know, he went to jail for a reason, obviously. And he even admitted that. But I felt like John Rinke was the only person who felt some sympathy seeing his old boss, you know, get from behind bars. So that's the reason I liked him. And then John Finley, I just loved the way he was on the interviews. Like, he's sitting there getting interviewed with the shirt off. And then they asked him about it. And he's like, yeah, I gotta show off my tats. And also, shout out, because he ended up getting his – he also, like,
biggest blow up,
which I think he said was was because of the heroin.
No.
No.
But that's why he lost his teeth. Didn't he say it wasn't, though? Oh, no, that was the other
tobacco.
Guy.
I thought it was meth.
No, I think he lost
it's
all
meth,
his teeth.
I'm pretty sure.
And
meth.
Right. Oh, meth. And in the interview, he ended up, he was showing off his new teeth. And I was like, that was awesome. And
he looked like a completely different person.
He's like J.R. Smith of the show.
Yeah,
and he's married. He's married. Yeah.
Oh yeah, now he's married to someone that he worked, that he was cheating on Joe with, a woman that worked at the
Because we didn't even touch on the fact that both of Joe's husbands were straight.
Right, which was crazy. And how about this? The age gap, right? Travis was 19 years old when he started working there.
Well, no, so was John Finley.
Right,
they
both
started
when they were like 15.
Or excuse me, I meant to say 19.
19, right, and Joe was 42 years old. Joe was older than Travis's mom. Joe was 51.
Oh,
my God. I'm sorry, 32, not 42.
That's so 32 crazy.
32 years older. It's insane. Yeah. I mean, that whole thing was just obviously crazy. And they talk about how, you know, Travis, you know, was straight, but when he was pulled in by the drugs and, like, the money and the cats and all that, like, that's what, you know, ended up drawing him in to marry Joe. So it definitely was a crazy thing.
Yeah.
But with all those, that's a good segue, because there's obviously so many just nuts, you know, crazy storylines that happened in the show.
And characters.
But it felt like, obviously, there were 7 episodes, but it almost felt like they could have had 7 episodes just on, like, Doc Antle, for example, or 7 episodes on, you know, another character.
Yeah, it could have been a reality TV show.
There could have been a ton of episodes on just 1 or 2 characters. So that's a good question to ask is, and I want to ask you first, Will, is which character or what storyline would make the best spinoff reality show? Or just
Yeah,
show
so again? The first person to come to mind immediately is Joe Exotic. And I get, technically he was, this documentary was centered around him. However, do you guys know the show 60 Days In? Okay,
no,
so I'll give a quick summary of what it is. This is like the other thing I've been doing in quarantine. I've been obsessed with this show. Pretty much, they have these undercover guys go into prison and are just among the general population trying to figure out the holes and all the things that are being done wrong in the prison. And but it's just interesting. It's so interesting seeing how, like, prison life is and seeing what, like, the day-to-day operations are of prison. And so I think...
And you see, like, and there's prisoners in there, and they're like, do they get
you
interviewed?
Get,
are they
so
like,
the prisoners are getting interviewed. The people who are undercover are getting interviewed. And it's just so interesting seeing what goes on.
Oh, so you're talking about, like, watching
and
Joe
so
while he's in prison. And
Joe Exotic is just, like, let's be honest, he's a natural star. And so if you tell him that you're pointing cameras on him even when he's in prison, he's going to love it. I think that there's no better person to focus
on. He really would.
And that would be so interesting. Like, I don't know about you guys, but I want to know how he's doing in jail. Like, I want to know what's going on.
Is he
a star? Do people hate him? Like, do people even know?
Well, I don't know if you guys follow
him. Do people even know who he is or, like, what's going on with him? Probably not.
Yeah, so I don't know if you guys follow him on Instagram. Somehow he's not verified yet. Which is it's old account, but his current husband Dylan is running the account.
Wow!
And Dylan's been posting Instagram stories saying, "Guys, like, Joe loves you all. Like, he's read all your letters.
He's eating it up.
Joe's getting a bunch of letters while he's in prison.
He's probably getting hate mail too.
Probably. Joe read all your letters. Like, he couldn't respond to them all, but, like, he wanted me to say he loves you guys all. Like, thanks you so much for all the support, and, like, he hopes to, like, get out and see you guys soon.
Yeah.
Like, whatever. So it is crazy. Like, so I would love to see, like, Joe. I mean, who knows? Did he shave the mullet? Like, what? We don't know what's going on.
There's just so many unanswered questions and things that I want to know about what's going on with him in there that I think a TV show for him in prison would be so good.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, I'll go next. We had talked about this before, but at the end of the show, they finished with obviously, like, updating, saying, oh, this person's doing this now and this person's doing this now. And they said Doc Antle's Myrtle Beach Safari, Alex read this earlier, was raided by the authorities in December 2019. So I just think, you know, Bhagavan.
Yeah.
Doc Bhagavan. He was one of the most interesting characters. And I just wonder what's going on with him now as he's handling being raided and, I don't know, a court case maybe. Like, how is he fighting back? I want to know, because obviously we saw Joe go through, you know, his whole situation at the end of his reign as the Tiger King. And I wonder, how is Doc Antle handling not being like the king on his estate and his zoo, and like what's going on with
him? I
want
to know all the other sleazy things that were going on.
Oh,
at his
totally.
Place, because we already mentioned, John, you said it well when you said it, Doc was obviously much better at just hiding all the things that were going on over there.
Right, like killing the animals.
And so, well, just not even that, but like the whole deal with how he'd get these like 19-year-old girls to come, or 18, or
well,
young
woman,
girls.
She said, I would volunteer. I told my parents I wanted to go work there.
It seemed like he was brainwashing them, and it was like a cult.
It really was.
So that was really... that would definitely be an interesting show.
All right, Alex, what's your pick?
My guy, this dude did not get enough screen time. Mario
I don't know, but it's a great
Tabra,
pick.
I think. But he was the, like, he was on for like 10 minutes. He was like the Tony Montana, the real life Tony Montana guy. Who was like doing all this drug smuggling and all this stuff. And he basically said, I sold drugs to maintain my animal habit. Like, he loved animals.
Yeah.
When he first left his parents' house, his parents didn't like animals, he bought 3 Great Danes or something like that. Like,
that's just
how he got started.
He just bought 3
But
dogs.
With the drugs, like, I don't know if this was him, but they had a news headline in the show, and it was like that 223 snakes were found with cocaine inside
them.
That's
so wild.
Like, they were using animals to smuggle drugs.
I forgot
about
that.
There's a whole nother show. I don't care whether it's a fictional show or a reality show. Or
I want to hear about it.
But this guy, there was a ton of material off this guy. So I think the fact that he literally was like only in one show was just crazy.
For sure.
But yeah, he's my pick.
All right, guys. We're 44. We just hit the 44-minute mark. Listeners, if you're still there, you waited long for this. But now we have to get into, I think, the most important question, or one of them, right? Obviously, there's so many crazy questions and stories throughout this documentary. This is one of the craziest ones. Did Carol kill her husband, Don Lewis? So in episode 3, they essentially outline this all. And obviously, Carol Baskin's painted as this villain pitted against Joe. But, that episode, they, like, outline some of her backstory. And, I felt sympathy for, like, her. She was, like, raped when she was young.
Yeah.
Her parents threw her out of the house because of that, which was just totally absurd and, like, horrible. And now she's just walking on the street one night because her then-abusive husband, who she married, I think she said she was 17.
She must
have been 17. So her parents kicked her out at 15. She marries this abusive husband at 17, has a kid. He's abusive, but she doesn't want to leave him because of the fact that, she didn't want to raise her daughter alone. And who swooped in and saved her, who was driving and saw her? Don Lewis, which that whole story was crazy in itself because she said, he just pulled up and said, hey, I need someone to talk to. This is a 42-year-old man. So she's 20 years old now. This is a 42-year-old man with a wife and kids who picks up this 20-year-old girl
on the side of the road
and says, I need someone
and
to
wait,
talk
you're
to.
Missing.
She says no.
You're missing even the craziest part is the thing that made her get in the car is the fact that he put a gun on the passenger seat.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say that. He says, okay, you can come in. Like, here's my gun. If you hold the gun on me, I'll drive you around. You can hold the gun on me. I don't care. I just want someone to talk to. So she said she got in the car, puts the gun on him, and they drove around and talked. And then she spent the night with him.
True love.
So that was just crazy painting that. And that's obviously how she started that marriage with Don Lewis. They ended up having the zoo on East Street.
Easy Street. Easy Street.
Or something like that. Easy Street, right? And a big cat Tampa rescue expert. But so they obviously, that was how it started off. They ended up buying like hundreds of bobcats. And then they talked about how in that episode they were breeding and selling them in the 90s. And obviously gets to the point where they outline how he just disappeared one day. And they talk about all the different stuff that incriminated her that didn't. And it seemed like, oh, no, she said, he, like her whole story. Oh, he left early, early, early the next day. He told me he was leaving early, early, early to go to Costa Rica. And I never saw him again. So obviously I just said a lot there, guys. But what do you guys think? Did she kill him or did he escape and leave forever? What do you guys think?
I definitely think that she killed him. Although at first I was like, I was entertaining the idea that he just disappeared. But
when I rewatched that episode, there's so many things that are like,
it's way too coincidental.
The fact that, exactly, like the fact that he wrote that note 2 months prior to his disappearance, right. He wrote the note, if I disappear, like my wife just threatened to kill me, all this stuff. If I disappear,
it was in June,
it's because of her. So that was in June. He disappeared in August. And the thing that struck me was after they're interviewing his daughters, Tiger King, the special, whatever, the Netflix show, was interviewing his daughters, and they were like, my dad never, he didn't really believe in, like, the government or the laws. He was usually trying to, like, you know, get around them. But for him to have gone to officials meant that he was at, you know, he was at the end. Like, he was, like, so sure that there was something was going to happen to him. And he was worried. Yeah,
His lawyer talks about, oh, he couldn't get the restraining order because that's just free speech. In this country, you know, that doesn't mean anything. Like, you know, just because she threatened him, that wasn't enough.
Listen, without a doubt in my mind, Don Lewis is in the septic tank underneath their house. I'm telling you
that God.
It's either that or she fed him to the tigers.
Or she fed him to the tigers,
seriously think
right?
that she killed him. It's just way too – the whole story just seems way too perfect for her not to have killed him. I mean, he had so much money, millions and millions of dollars. And in the episode 3, I believe is what it was, his best friend – Don Lewis's best friend says that he was getting prepared to divorce her, and the way multiple fights, she kept threatening to kill him, which sure, I'd want to get a divorce too, and the way that he works apparently is he was getting all of his assets in line so that when he divorced her, she would be left with nothing. She would not have any of the money. She wouldn't get the house, none of the cars, and most importantly, I think to her, was she wasn't going to get to keep any of the big cats. He was going to take them all to Costa Rica and keep breeding and selling them. And so,
yeah, and that's why he wanted to go there, because it was like there wasn't as many regulations and restrictions there. Obviously,
man,
she really did.
She finessed. That was Cersei Lannister, dude.
Yeah,
Cersei Lannister. I mean, I think Alex, you touched on it. Like, you're entertained the idea, so like you go into it and you're right away like, whoa, she definitely did just disappear. Like, this doesn't make any sense. They were fighting, and then the whole restraining order thing, like, it made zero sense. And there's like, literally a letter in June, like, of him saying, oh, if anything happens, it's my wife. And then 2 months later, he disappeared. So then there was a few things that I saw. So at first, I'm entertaining the idea because his friend, I forget who it was like his handyman or his friend that he was talking to like a week before.
Right.
And he goes, if I pull this off, it'll be the craziest thing I ever did in my life. Right? So they're showing you that. So the documentary, I can't believe how well they just pulled it off, because they really do get you thinking there for a second. But then once they outline everything that essentially Carol had done, like leaving the van there. So I'm like, okay, he could have just left. He was a pilot. He flew planes. But the way the van left there, like, he would not have just left it there, right? That to me seemed more like someone was trying to plant that as evidence, right? Mm-hmm. So there was that. And Carol,
maybe if he really was trying to escape, why would he care whether or not
because he's leaving a breadcrumb trail to where he went.
Yeah, to where? To Costa Rica?
And then guess what? They searched Costa Rica. They talked about it. They searched it, and, like, they couldn't find him.
You can search all of Costa Rica.
Okay, who knows? But if he has as many animals, whatever. So, who knows? But Carol, there was the whole thing about how she left at 3 a.m.
Yes.
To go get some milk for the cats. That was the day that he
disappeared, 3 a.m.
Right?
In the morning.
And then she saw him. 3 a.m. in the morning, she saw him a few hours later. Her whole story was just too perfectly rehearsed. And this is what I think. It was crazy because they literally had the news story of whatever. What year did he disappear? I can't remember.
1999.
Yeah. So they had that news story, right? And it's like her saying, I don't know where he left. It was like, you know, man disappears, but wasn't his husband. And we, like, interviewed her. And, like, here she is. And she goes, he said he was leaving early, early, early in the morning. And then they have the interview of, like, them for the show, like, 20 years later interviewing her. And she goes, yes, he said he was leaving early, early,
the
early.
The same exact line.
She knew. Like, she had it rehearsed. The crazy thing was how well she plays it. So now in the documentary, she talks about how they're like, oh, she had the most to gain from him disappearing, from him dying, right? And in his, like, will, I think it was called his
it's
attorney, his like attorney something, or his
power of attorney,
right? It said, like, it was prepared by her, so she did it herself, and it said, upon my disappearance, right? So they had like a little clip of Joe discussing this. He's like, Joe Exotic is like, this is the first thing everyone says is like, upon my death. You don't anticipate that you're just going to disappear. You anticipate your death is going to happen because everyone dies. But no one says that. Yet, I guess we're saying the way she worded it was upon my disappearance. So that was sketchy. Her Don's lawyers had said he's never seen that in 37 years of like being a lawyer or whatever. He'd never seen anyone write upon my disappearance. And then lastly, the thing that I thought was crazy was how she played it so well, saying, oh, you know, he wanted me to nullify his will and to like, get the kids off of it. But, you know, I left the kids on there because I thought that was the right thing to do. And, like, meanwhile, the kids are outlining and explaining how, like, she got all his biggest assets. They were left with nothing from their father after he disappeared. And, like, yet she's painting it as, like, he didn't want to give them anything. But, like,
She spin-cycled that so well. All that,
right, it ended up swaying me. And I was like, okay, like, you know what? I think, you know, Carol – at first I was like, oh, maybe Don just, like, disappeared to Costa Rica. But, like, there's no way.
I completely agree with all those points. The only other thing I wanted to add is the fact that – so she came up with this story that after his last accident, he apparently had gotten in multiple plane crashes. After his last one –
oh, that was really weird too.
She was saying, oh, he was never the same. Like he there's always something off about him. And then she started to imply that he was developing Alzheimer's. And so she was trying to say that – he got Alzheimer's, got lost, and then just like disappeared. Which then pan over to his lawyer, his best friend, the guy who was working at the dealership.
Like, he was just
they were like, no, this just isn't the case. He was completely there. He was fine. There's like no way that this was the case. Right. That's just like
I forgot about that. That was one of the more compelling arguments. But yeah, like at first when she says that, I'm like, oh wait, well maybe that's a point. And then like you said, all the people were like, nah, he was fine up until the day he left. But that's what just adds up into all this, everything, although it seems like it makes a lot of sense, all the things that she's arguing, it's like, it seems like it's too, like, created. It's too, like, concocted. Yeah. She just created this
The
van story. Like, the van was just left perfectly with the keys, and they're like, oh, so it makes sense now. Don had his van fixed up. He drove it to the airport and he flew off. And meanwhile, they're like, you would need to make 4 stops for gas on the way to Costa Rica. You couldn't fly those small planes.
Well, and also the other thing about that van is the police let Carol take the van home from the airstrip back to the Big Cat Rescue and then didn't touch it, didn't search it for days. Which, I mean, that would have allowed her to do whatever she needed to do to erase all the footprints of her ever, like,
100%.
Being in that car. So...
which honestly, she had left it at the airport, so she probably already.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I just wanted to say, I think this definitely was a theme of the whole entire story. Like these people that own these big cats, the shady things they do. Like Doc Antle, for example, who hid it very well. Carol Baskin hides it very well. Joe Exotic, it ended up costing him, you know, life in prison or whatever. That's what he was facing, 22. And he's gonna end up with 22, or he was facing 79 years, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what ended up happening is, like, all these people low-key have things that will probably incriminate them and, like, all the, like, under-the-table, behind-the-scenes stuff, like, you know, illegal things that are going on.
It'll come out.
And it's all going to come out. We're going to get another – we're going to get Tiger King Part 2. We're going to hear all of this stuff.
Who knows? One day we'll see Carol, you know, behind bars. So that's what Joe wants. And he said he's selling out everyone,
so here's,
you know? And he was going to start with Jeff
Lowe. The thing I want to ask you guys, though, is do you actually think realistically – Carol would ever be convicted of murdering Don Lewis? I don't think so.
No, I think it's too late in the game. And they said they're going to reopen the what's it called?
The case.
What do you call it? The case, I guess. But I was just remembering that the wasn't the detective like her brother or the guy?
No. He was just a police officer.
Okay, he was an officer. Yeah, like that. That's whole nother.
I just think at this point, it's just speculation. Like everyone. Honestly, I think this is going to be like the OJ case. Like Carol Baskin got away with it.
Everyone knows.
Oh my God! Wait. The other thing. Did you see OJ Simpson sent out a video? I think he tweeted out a video and said that he thinks Carol Baskin killed Don Lewis.
No way.
There was a video of OJ Simpson saying that. So honestly. Convincing point for me is if OJ says she did it, she did it.
She did it.
See, OJ knows a good criminal.
And listen, props to Carol. She just pulled off an OJ. This is like going to be our OJ Simpson case.
That's crazy. All right, lastly, Will, we're nearly an hour in. We just got a few minutes left. Go ahead, Will. Give us your Tiger King cast. If you were casting a movie, what actors would you have play certain characters? All
right, so I thought about this a lot, and I only wanted to do six characters, six or seven. I think I did my top six characters, so it wasn't too long. But I think I did a pretty good job. So,
all right,
here we go.
Who do you got?
Joe Exotic. I've got David Spade playing him. I think that he would be the perfect person for that role.
I hope he can pull off that accent.
And here's the thing. I think he can. One, he looks like him. But two, I think he can pull off that accent. And I think he's got that quirky, weird personality to pull off Joe Exotic. And I think he's got that same kind of quality to him that like people really like. So he can pull off that like villainous person that everyone still likes.
Yeah, kind of likable. So he's got to slim down, too. Get those strong legs of Joe Exotic. He can win an Oscar.
That's great. Well done, Will. All right,
so
who's next?
Next, I'm going to say Carol Baskin. And I actually probably should have started with Carol Baskin. She is the only person – I found this out right before we started recording. They've already started plans on doing a movie. And Carol Baskin's character is the only one that has actually been solidified. And – I didn't know this, but I picked the same person.
No, way.
Okay, I did. Well, I promise you. I promise you.
Let's hear it. Right,
it's Kate McKinnon from SNL.
Oh, that would be funny.
She's got great impressions all around across the board.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
Something just tells me that she would have the best. And honestly, I don't know how SNL hasn't done this. Maybe they have done a skit about
it. Yes, they must have. We got to watch
it. The reason they haven't is because they've been – it's a quarantine. Their last skit was like a Zoom.
Oh, my gosh. That would
So Kate McKinnon is actually solidified as playing Carol Baskin, and I think that's a great role. Doc Annell, I have Danny McBride playing him.
Here's the thing.
I was looking through actors, and I got a vivid image of Danny McBride in a blonde wig with all these wives around him and renaming all his wives. Because that's another thing we didn't talk about.
Yeah.
He renamed all his wives.
They didn't even mention that.
Oh, wow.
I could see Danny McBride doing such a good job with that role.
That would be great. I think it'd be funny. Yeah, he just needs the white hair.
Yeah, and I think he could pull it off so well. So that's why I have Doc Antle. John Rinke, I have Bryan Cranston, Breaking Bad guy.
I think
he'd be really good.
They look very similar,
and I think that Bryan Cranston's a great actor, and I think he could pull off that role.
Yeah, he is great. He was great in Breaking Bad. You know, I've only seen a few episodes, but
you haven't
seen
Breaking Bad.
That's the only one. I've only seen a few episodes.
All right, well, we're going to have to talk about that later. But that's got to
be
one you got to watch.
Our next episode.
So next I have Jeff Lowe. Jeff Lowe, I thought Bruce Willis should play him. And I think that's a stretch.
What? Nah,
that's a bit of a stretch. However, one, if you look at a side-by-side comparison, they look very similar. They do.
What?
They do.
See the face.
In their faces. Bruce Willis, have you seen him lately?
He's older.
I'm
thinking of Pulp Fiction Bruce Willis.
Dude,
he's
older, and he kind of got himself let go a little bit. So that's my pick for Jeff Lowe. And then finally, John Finley. This is going to be the hottest of takes.
Let's hear it.
Channing Tatum. Listen, and the reason why I said that, I would never have thought of that myself. However, John Finley himself, when asked who he wanted to play, I think it was in a interview for People magazine, they asked him want to play John Finley in the movie, and he said Channing Tatum. At first I was like, okay, I don't see it at all, but I thought about it. You fatify him. And I think he could pull it off.
You know what?
With the
tattoos. Use some CGI.
Get his
teeth out.
Teeth out.
We
that's my hot take,
I think
though,
be great.
For the cast.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. All right, well, we better start filming soon. This is going to be a great movie.
I think we've got a great cast to get together.
Definitely. For sure. Definitely.
Well, thanks so much, Will. That was a really fun episode. Thank you, listeners, if you're still here with us. Thank you so much for tuning in. Let us know what you guys thought. Did Carol kill her husband or not? Let us know on Twitter, at Say Alex, at John Stacy. Well, yeah, Will, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was honestly so much fun. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, that was great. Great time. All right, thanks, bro. Take care. Stay safe. Wash them hands. And everyone out there, thank you for listening.